Be something if the Lord would my creeks up again. if the voice of many waters speak to us, that two-edged sword come to us. And ain't a whole lot of rebuttals when that happens. There's not a whole lot of yakking and back-talking and opinion casting and things like that. And I've dealt with a ton of that. And take it out on me while you can. When the Lord speaks, you won't be able to. I wish he'd speak in our heart. If you will, let's turn to John 14. John 14. Anytime we read the scriptures, it's good to read a little bit behind, a little bit ahead. You want to find three things. Who is speaking? Sometimes the Lord records heretics in these scriptures. And I've heard people quote them. I said, the Bible says this. And I was like, you may not want to quote that. That was dealt with shortly after. But who's speaking? To whom are they speaking? Who's talking? Who are they talking to? And what are they talking about? What's the subject? We need to get a handle on that. If we don't know who's saying it, who they're saying it to, or what they're talking about, the context of it, we've missed it. We don't have a handle on it. Each is very important. And this generation, like every other one throughout time, they're not applying the word of the Lord rightly. They're not declaring who's saying what. They don't know who they're talking to. And they don't know what they're saying. It's a shame. Many times people will accurately quote the scriptures, but they have the wrong person speaking, or they apply it to the wrong people. This applies to everybody. No, it don't. What we're looking at here, the Lord's speaking to his apostles. He ain't talking to you. He ain't talking to me. He's talking to them. He ain't talking to the world or everybody around. He's talking to the 11 that's left. We'll see that over the next 3 weeks. There's just too much here. I didn't know. There's a lot. A whole lot. I think the Lord's gave me some light on it. But I want to take tonight and look at these next two, these verses here. And in the next 2 weeks, we'll look at these sections carefully. The first one I'll look at tonight, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me. Remember what I've said. Remember what I've done. That's for us. That's for them too. But especially for us, the work's finished. Believe him. Remember him. Remember what he said and what he's done. Next, Lord willing, next week, we'll look at verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. Shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. You think that'd take more than 30 minutes to explain? He said it. Is that what he said? He said, you're going to do greater works than you've seen me do. Because I go unto my Father. The apostles will do the works that Christ did and greater. That may need a couple messages by itself. I don't know. Finally, our Lord speaks to these apostles in verse 13. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that's what I'm going to do. And that's, people think that's just a golden ticket. You can get me a new Mercedes-Benz and slap in Jesus' name at the end of it, and it's going to happen. Oh, no. Oh, no. That these boys are in a whole different boat than I'm in. They didn't have the scriptures. The people they were preached to didn't have the scriptures. They might have heard of this man named Jesus Christ that came, but they didn't know. And so the Lord had to give them special apostolic gifts to prove who they were, and so they could get a hearing, not so they could get a seeing. You get that? They weren't performing magic tricks. And so people would hear what they had to say. We have the finished word of God. We can read every bit of it. We know what happens, don't we? We know what happens. Back in verse 1, John 14, the Lord's speaking to who? He's speaking to the 11 apostles. He's speaking. He's talking to them. What's he talking about? We've been looking at this for a while. He's telling them who he is. He's God. That's who he is. Him and the Father are one. He's told them a whole bunch, hasn't he? He's told them where he's going, what he's doing. He's got to lay down his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He's going to go lay down his life. And he's telling them that he will not leave them unequipped. He will not leave them alone. They've been given these gifts to cast out demons and stuff. And he said, don't you marvel at that. You marvel, you know me. Okay? So I saw the Satan cast down like a bolt of lightning. Don't you worry about that. But they said, baby, that's going away, and we're not getting this earthly kingdom, we thought. And there's some people now that just, they got their doctrine just dialed in to a thousandth of an inch. Boy, and they think if you're just off a little bit, Philip's about to ask some real dumb stuff. And he's an apostle. We're just sinners saved by grace. These men are different. I'm not an apostle. We've got weeks to look at that. But these men are different than I am. And they're just sinners saved by grace. The Lord just equipped them differently. He's telling them these things. He's speaking to his apostles, the 11. Judas went out. He says in verse 1, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Your heart's troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Fret not. Remember? Ye believe in God. What did God just say? You believe in God. Y'all got any cake? This is great, isn't it? Yeah, we're still trapped in this body of death, ain't we? He said, you believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many reservations. You got a spot there. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place of acceptance before a holy God for you. I'm going to go make a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas saith, Peter just said, I'll never forsake you. He said, you're going to do it 3 times before the cock crows. And then the Lord said, don't let your heart be troubled. He's given, this is good preaching. He's given the good news. He's given the word of God, his promises to them right here. And they keep asking questions like a little child. Why? How? How's that work? Poor Thomas. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? If we don't know where you're going, how am I going to know how to get there? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. They're one. I and the Father are one, ain't they? And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. You've seen him, Thomas. Why, how? Because you looked at me. I and the Father are one. God's talking to him. Then Philip said, I wish I could rest my tongue. This week I've talked too much. I've talked too much. And I need to bridle my tongue. I need to just hush. Here's what God says. And then if people don't like it, I don't care. I do care, but just keep my mouth shut. Here's what he says. Poor Philip spoke up. This gives me hope. The Lord's patient, isn't he? Philip spoke unto him. Jude's going to say something next. He's a couple weeks from now. The Lord show us the Father. You show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Ooh, buddy. You show us the Father, and I'll be satisfied. Philip believed. God just said so, didn't he? He said, you believe in God? He believed in God, but his unbelief was strong, and he was speaking like a worldly person speaks. Christ is good and all. I like that Jesus fella, but we need access to the Father. I want to get to God. It's all around. It's a disease. It runs all over, isn't it? We want to get to God. You just have to be our in. You know the doorman. Get us in there. Look at the patience. Look at the long-suffering. Look at the bearing of the burden. Look at the tenderness Christ has with his child. Look here how he responds. Did he just smack him upside the head and say, shut up. What's wrong with you? Y'all, no, didn't you hear a word I just said? I ought not get frustrated. People don't believe what I say. Lord looked at his people. They didn't hear him, did they? Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet thou not known me, Philip. Yet hast thou now not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? How are you saying this? I'm looking right at you. I just told you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the Father in a human body. I'm a Godhead manifest in human flesh. The incarnate God is talking to him. And he says, now how long have I been with you, Philip? Just tender, loving. Verse 10, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? He's saying you don't believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. You believe in God, but you ain't got your doctrine sorted out yet. Declaration, isn't it? Philip didn't yet believe that. He didn't grasp it yet, but the Lord's going to teach him. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the speaking, the words. No, it says works, doesn't it? It says works. That's not a mistake. The greatest work is for God to speak to a child of Adam. You want to see some big works? You want to see some miracles? Almighty God's going to talk to a sinner. He said, I'm the Father of one. I say his words. We say the same words. He does the work. Because that's a work, isn't it? There has to, the mediator between God and man speaking to him. He said, believe me that I'm in the Father. He's declared, he said, you don't get it yet. Now here's the commandment. You ready? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Believe it right now. He can make it happen, can't he? Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. You can either believe me for my words or you can believe me for my works. But believe. But believe. There's not a contradiction here. I need to believe he's God. He is who he says he is. Not a God, the God. And all that entails. And I need to believe his word. I need to believe what he says. And I need to believe his work. Look at what the Lord's gave us. We have his, look, he gave us Gutenberg. That fellow made a press a long time ago. Everybody's got a Bible. Now it's on your phone. You can have it read to you. Siri can read it to you. He's gave that to us. He's come, he's brought the gospel to you. He brought the gospel to me. He had a man come preach to me, look me face to face, speak into my heart. God was talking to me. Believe at work. He's done it. Wasn't me. He did it. Believe him for that work's sake. And he says so. His promises. He said, I'll come get them. I've got sheep. I'm getting them. They're mine. I ain't going to lose none of them. I'm with you. I don't see you. You don't have to see me. I'm with you. That's good enough for me. Hey, I need to believe his word some days. All days, but I need to believe his works. I need to look at him and say, amen, he did it. And because of who he is. We need those things. He said, believe the words I say to you. Is that what he said? Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Either way you believe him. Believe him. Believe him. There's people that ain't worth believing. I get marriage advice from people that's divorced. I ain't listening. I get parenting advice that people from people that don't have children or they have heathens. I don't want to hear what you say. I get financial advice from people that's broke. I get all kinds of stuff. I don't want to hear nothing from them. This is the potentate. That's the only authority. And he says, believe me. Believe me. And it's not, I've talked to some people, they want doctrinal assurance. Pay close attention to what I have to say to you. They don't have assurance, and they're looking for doctrinal assurance. I don't need doctrinal assurance. I don't need to make sure I got all my doctrine in a row. I need to be embraced by my near kinsman redeemer, by my husbandman, the one I made one with. That's what I need. I need to feel his presence. I need to hear his word. I need to see who he is, and I need to be reminded of what he's done. One-on-one. That's what I need. I wrote this down real quick. Kim and I, we have a marriage certificate, right? Has that marriage certificate ever kept you warm while I was deployed? has that marriage certificate ever cooked you dinner while I was gone? Ever rubbed your feet? No, a person does that. Not a legal document. It's a person, God in human flesh, isn't it? He said, believe the words I say or believe the works I've performed. What does that mean? He said, you remember what I said, and you remember what I've done. And then I'm going to do some stuff. I've been telling you I'm going. This hour's here. And when I do that, you remember what I'm doing. I told you. And you remember who I am. How often do you forget he's on his throne? As a child of God that lives in this sin-cursed earth, how often do you forget or act like he's not on his throne? Ever? Do you? I do. We need reminded. We needed to remember, don't we? Remember. Remember. Look down at verse 25. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I told you because I was here with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. There's a whole lot you ain't got sorted out yet. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you apostles and is going to teach you apostles all things. If you got questions, get underneath the preaching of the gospel, under a man that preaches the truth, and you just listen. And all your questions will be answered. It may take a week, a month, a year, 10 years. I don't know. I tell you that from experience. I've lived it. It's so. I tell you that from experience of others. And I tell you that from the Word of God. Wait on the Lord. Be still. Be of good courage. He'll teach his people. The Holy Spirit's going to come and teach you all things, okay? And bring all things to your remembrance. You're going to remember whatsoever I said to you. That came to me today, too. Somebody got me, and just that fast, I thought, well, the Lord said this. Did I say that? No. I just remember. The Spirit made me remember what he said. I hope it was a blessing. In John 16, he says, I have many things yet to say to you, but you can't bear it now. We can only learn so much. You can't learn it all in a day. You can't learn it all in a year. You can't learn everything there is to know in a decade. It's a lifetime. And we ain't going to learn in this life. We see through a glass dimly, don't we? He says, I have many things saying to you. He's going to say them to us. You get that? This body of S over. Boy, that's going to be something. He's going to be the preacher. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear it now. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that Holy Ghost comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll take care of it. Why do we need to remember the words of the Lord and the works of the Lord and who he is and where he is now? We forget. We forget. He told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, mark them and avoid them. How Paul worded it, same thing. Leave them alone. Beware of that. And they said, man, the leaven of the Pharisees, we forgot to bring bread. What are we going to do? And they fret and they worried. You know what that's called? Caught worry, caught fret, caught anxiousness, anxiety. You know what all that, this fancy word, $5 words for unbelief. That's all it is to it. And they said, what are we going to do? We've brought no bread. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves? That's what you're doing. You're coming up reasons inside your own head because you brought no bread. He said, don't you understand? He said, neither remember. Do you remember? We need to be brought to remembrance. Do you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? Remember when that little boy came down there with 5 biscuits and 2 sardines? You forgot? You think that's going to be a problem today? He said, how many baskets you took up? You remember? Oh, ye little faith. That's us when we don't remember, when we don't dwell on, we don't rejoice in the word and the works and the person of our Redeemer. That's when we got little faith, isn't it? The Spirit must come to these apostles and teach them these things and make them remember. Turn back to John 2. That two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth, boy, that just sneaks up on us sometimes and it returns to us. We remember. John 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. I don't know if you remember when we looked through this. That's about 35, 40, 50,000 people there, 100,000 people. This was a miracle. He made a little tiny scourge and drove out the cattle. And could you drive out 50 sheep with a little scourge? That'd be hard. He performed a miracle. He performed a miracle. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Get them out of here. Make not my Father's house and house of merchandise. What do you think you're doing? This is God's house. And his disciples remembered. They remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. They remember that psalm. Psalm 69, is that what it was? You remember him saying that? Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And he answered, said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They thought he meant that building he was standing in. And they said, what are you talking about? It took 46 years was this temple in building. And without reeled up in 3 days, you going to rebuild this? What kind of carpenter are you? But he spake of the temple of his body. He said, you're mad enough to kill me. Kill me. Watch what happens. 3 days, I'll raise it up. I'll come out of the ground. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said, they remembered his words, didn't they? This unto them. And they believed. They believed the scripture, and they believed the word which Jesus had said. They remembered his word, and they remembered his work, and they remembered who he was. Did he say he's going to send the Spirit to teach them all things? It happened, didn't it? His word's true. At the end of Luke, it said they remembered his words. They remembers his words. Do you remember? Do you remember when the Lord entered on that young, unbroken colt, that young ass, that untamed colt? He come into town, riding in his triumphant entry. And it says in John 12, these things understood not his disciples at first. They didn't get it. That's finally it. All right, we're taking over Jerusalem. But when Jesus was glorified, when he was glorified, then remembered they the sayings that were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. They remembered the words and the work of Christ and who he was when he was glorified. You want to see God? He's going to be glorified. You want to know his word? You want to know his works? He's going to get the glory. Man's got something in it. There ain't going to be no assurance. There ain't going to be no peace. There ain't going to be no rest because it's works. And we're dead. We can't do no work. We got to see him. Peter remembered these words from when this happened here in John 14. Peter remembered. He was down in Joppa, and an angel told some people, said, hey, you get a hold of Peter. Go send for him. He'll preach to you. And it says in Acts 11, he goes, I began to speak, and the Holy Ghost fell upon me as on us at the beginning. God was with us. The Spirit was here with us. And then I remembered the word of the Lord. He was preaching, and he said, I look in you in the eye, and I know if you're paying attention or not, boy, they're getting it. They're rejoicing. I can see it on their faces. Their frowns turned upside down. There's tears of happiness, tears of joy, tears of conviction. I see it. God's with us in this place. And then I remembered. He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. God's with us. The Holy Ghost is with us. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, he said, Lord's here with us. If he's going to bless it, he's going to bless it. And when they heard these things, they held their peace. They didn't say what they thought, and they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to us Gentiles granted repentance unto life. God gave us repentance too. Amen. God blessed that place. And Peter remembered, didn't he? Turn over to Isaiah 62. That's what happened then. And Lord spoke to these apostles, right? What about us? I ain't an apostle, and you ain't an apostle. There ain't no apostles these days. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. How is it in our day that men and women will be brought into remembrance of the words and the works and the person of Christ? How you going to remember? How's anybody, you pay close attention to me, how's anybody going to remember? We'll see in the next few weeks these apostles were different. I'm not an apostle. There were 12 of them, saved the son of perdition, and then Paul was added as one born out of due time, right? There's 12 of them. I ain't one of them. And ain't nobody now one of them, okay? There's no other apostles. There's never been any. There won't be any. They were called in person by the Lord Jesus Christ and taught in person by him. And then the Holy Spirit came to them just like us. So what about all those other sands of the sea? out of all the elect ever, that's just 12 of them. What about the rest of us? How are we going to be brought into remembrance? Look here at verse 6. Isaiah 62, verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. If you're going to have a word from them, it's going to be the same during the daytime as it's going to be at the nighttime. If they're tired and cranky or they're happy, it don't make a difference. They're going to have the same thing tell you. What are they going to say? Ye that make mention of the Lord. That's what they're called, these watchmen. They make mention of the Lord. If you got a marginal reference Bible, that translation is literally, they are the Lord's remembrancers. They're the ones that give remembrance. God sent them, and he put them on the walls of his city. And he says, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. We are instructed to tell people of the person. That's us. I don't have a ministry in San Diego County. We have this ministry. You get that? We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach the truth. That don't mean y'all out there with bullhorns on the street corners, but you're here in your attendance and your prayers and your presence and your contributions, and we keep the lights on in this place. We preach it. We're instructed to tell the people the person, the word, and the works of God, and to call God to remembrance to his people. Our job, so here's what it says, right? And we're to call on God and say, Lord, remember us. You said it. Remember what you said. Not that he can forget, but we have words we have to use, don't we? We call on his remembrance. Those opposed to Christ, those that are opposed to the lordship of Christ, his word, his work, his person. They just want to hear something new. We know all that stuff. I've been a Christian for 75 and a half years. I've been going to church. I've listened to thousands of messages. You know how many gospel preachers stayed in my house? They get tired of it. They get tired of it. That's what they said in Acts. They said all those Athenians and the strangers, which spent their time in nothing else. They didn't do nothing else but either tell or to hear something new. Ooh, what's popping? What's the newfangled thing? You know what, old so-and-so, old buddy, they're preaching something good down there, something new. No. When Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch in Acts 14, it says they come and they had gathered in the church together and they rehearsed. Brought to remembrance. What do you do? I stand over there. Yeah, it's rehearsal. It's like in a play. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. They remembered everything God said. They remembered everything God did for them and how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's his works. That's what he said he's going to do. From all the way back here. He said, I'm going to save the Gentiles. Circumcision and uncircumcision is going to die together. My people, those circumcised of the heart. Always has, isn't it? Nothing new. Better not be nothing new. Is it old hat? If I keep it under an hour, Lord said, can't you stay with me for an hour? Can't you stay awake for an hour? That's my cutoff. Better not go over 60 minutes, huh? The Lord spoke through Jeremiah, and he said, thus saith the Lord. That's how I know he's God's prophet. Somebody got real tired of me saying that this week. You just keep telling me what the scriptures say. You don't want to know what I say. Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord. That's it. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. You ask for that old gospel. That's the good way. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein. Ask for the old gospel. That's good. You walk in it and you'll find rest for your souls. That covenant of grace that's from eternity past, that love that's everlasting. You find that and you get to it. And you find somebody that says, this is what God says. And you'll have assurance. I feel sorry for folks. They ain't got no assurance. You'll have assurance. Look to him. Look to the person, the word, and the work of Christ. We will not walk therein, was the reply. And he says, I also set watchmen over you. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Listen to the man I sent to you. I wish you had a better one. Old rusty trombone. He sent a trumpet. He said, hearken to him. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not have this man reign over us because we won't have Christ reign over us. And we won't listen to his words because we won't listen to Christ's words because all that fellow ever says, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to perk everybody up real good. You ready? I've been called a lot of things in my life. I am not a Calvinist. I am not a hyper-Calvinist, and I am not anything else. I'm one that says, thus saith the Lord. And either I preach the gospel or I don't. I either tell you what God says or I don't. There is no middle ground. He said so. I thought I was really making a bold statement when I typed that out. I was like, well, that's what he says. They will not profit my people. Now, you can lie to yourself and lie to everybody else and say he does it. He don't. It's flat wrong. It don't. He said, I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you. I hope I'm feeding you. I hope I ain't just giving you knowledge and understanding, especially over this is some hard stuff to go through. They'll feed you with knowledge. This is what it says, and understanding. What did they say in Nehemiah? Ezra got up to preach on a pulpit, wooden pulpit, and everybody stood up while he read the word from morning till noon. I won't do that to you. They prayed and they bowed their head when they prayed. And it said, so they read the book. It sums up what they did, the Levites. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly. This is what I think it says, right? It says something along these lines. They read it distinctly, and they gave the sense. This is what it means. This is what he's saying. This is who he's talking to. This is what he's talking about. And it caused them to understand the reading. They didn't read a commentator out loud. They read a word of God out loud. Hold on, it's coming. You'll see in a second. Paul wrote that. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. How are you going to grow in grace? It's going to be through that. The foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but maybe a fool God made a preacher. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. How am I going to grow in faith? Well, it's going to have something to do with what he said. His words, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, who were brought into his body. That's the way he chose to do it. Peter said, them elders which are among you, I exhort. I'm an elder too. I preach. He said, I've witnessed the sufferings of Christ. I'm a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I'm saved. He said, feed the flock. He's telling them churches, them pastors. He said, you go feed the flock of God which is among you. You take the oversight. I ain't going to give it to you. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not because you have to, because you want to. Not for filthy lucre. Not to make the big bucks, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What crown of glory is that? Is that different than the ones that ain't feeding the flock? No, it's the same one. When we find out this word, it's like me being the banker at Monopoly. Do you remember back in 1997 when John Lucas was a banker at Monopoly? Boy, I'm still mad about him. No, who cares? Right? Lord's controlling all this. Turn to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10:10. Paul writes here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. We get that same crown of glory, same riches. We get Christ is what we get. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That got to take me to task this week. Well, when's a fellow saved? When you call on him, that's when you're saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then? Now, that ain't the problem. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? You got to believe on him to call on him, ain't you? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? Well, I don't even know what they're talking about. You have to hear about him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's going to have to preach to you. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful is their foundation. How beautiful is the providence that God brought them here. But they've not obeyed the gospel. They've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? These people's heard this. They've had the gospel brought to them. Somebody stood on their hind two legs and said, here's what God says. And they heard it not. I asked a guy today. I told Kim and Shed, wait till now to hear what it was. And my friend Don used to say, somebody calling him, pecking him real good, and just getting these knee-deep things. And I don't even answer the phone. And he'd say, where do you pastor? No one, they didn't pastor nowhere. And they said, what ministry do you faithfully attend and support with your hard-earned money? Where do you go out and sweat with your brow and earn money and support that man's preaching? Well, I don't attend nowhere. He knew that, right? And so I asked a fella, because I'm, you know, brilliant, and I got this one. And I said, who's your pastor? I said, you got a pastor? Who's teaching you these things? He said, I got a pastor. I said, oh, really? Where? He said, well, he passed away. I said, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah, John Gill's my pastor. God gave me a word right fast. I said, really? I said, how's bearing his burden going for you? How are you being long-suffering with him, and how is he being long-suffering with you? The man's been dead for a couple hundred years. God sent a voice in his generation, in that decade, or whatever the heck you want to call it, in that time. Go, if you don't like me, I don't care. I'll help you load your U-Haul. Go somewhere else where you can hear the gospel. I know a bunch of faithful people, and I know a bunch of places where it's cheaper and dirt to live. You live like a king. If you don't like that, learn Spanish, move to Mexico. Go sit underneath where the gospel is. If you're hungry, you'll go. They fight me tooth and toenail. Discussion. People want to discuss your thing. There's problematic things. I have a whole lot of problems over people who have internet ministries. There's people that get on the internet and they want to talk about religion. They want to talk about doctrine. They want to correct people and they want to uncorrect people. And then somehow they end up my way. And I got to deal with this junk. And they want to have a discussion. That's what they've been trained to do. People have been trained on this coast for 75 years to have a discussion. The gospel is not discussed. It's proclaimed. It's declared. If I'm the Lord's man, he's going to speak through me to your heart. It's a one-way conversation. If it's open for discussion, that means it's open for fault. And he ain't faulty because he said it. He says it. But if you want to, my job is just to tell you. It hurts my heart, though. He says in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. How's somebody going to have faith? You got to hear. Hear. How did God meet Jacob and Peniel? Face to face. Face to face. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. What did he say? Believe me for my word or my works say? If you're going to hear, that's his works. What are you going to hear? His word. What about his word? Who he is? Where he's at? Hearing what? God's word concerning God's work, isn't it? I was thinking, if anybody's going to be without assurance, if there was somebody that a child born of Adam that was going to walk this earth and have total assurance, who would that be? It has to be John the Baptist. Surely, John the Baptist never had a shadow of doubt, right? He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. His birth was a miracle and prophesied and all these things. And it says there in Luke 1, he said, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And Elizabeth's getting near Mary, and he just start punching and kicking. He got excited because his Savior was near. That man couldn't ever have any doubt, could he? Boy, he had to be just stronger than goat's breath to be able to walk through this earth. He had to be tough, didn't he? What happened? Turn to Matthew 11. Back to Matthew 11. I thought I was going to preach 15 minutes tonight. I'm sorry, but I'll keep it under an hour. Matthew 11, verse 2. John was in prison. John the Baptist. And it says in Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, the works, he heard the works, believe him for the works' sake. When he heard the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you him? John's tied up in prison. God's prophet sitting there in prison. He sends two disciples. They said, are you him? Or do we need to find somebody else? And Jesus answered, said to them, go and show John What's that say in your Bible? Again. You go tell him, you go tell him what he's going to have to remember because he's been told before, right? These words. He's heard these words before. Tell him again. Do you need to be told again? You need to be told one more time? You remember? I forgot. Tell me one more time. What'd he say? That's what he said. He said, you go tell John again those things which you do hear and see. Tell him the word and tell him the work. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. If I was raising dead folks, if I was giving blind folks that you knew was blind, I mean, just you see cataracts, like crazy, they fall off and they could see, we'd be, it's supposed to be packed, wouldn't it? Them apostles were given some ability to perform miracles like that, raise the dead. Peter killed a couple folks. I'm glad I don't have that one. It'd be one of me left on this earth. If we're doing all those things, people say there's miracles. What does God say? What's his word? Well, it may be a long time before we remember this. What's he say that a miracle is? The last one. Say the best for last. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, in my person, in my word, in my word. I ain't afraid to say I am, but as the Lord enables me, I ain't afraid to say what he said. You can think all you want. He says it. You're wrong. He's right. You're the liar. I'm a liar. He's right. I'll just tell you what he says. His works. Oh, boy. We can read his word. We can pick it up, and we can read about his works. We have all these New Testament epistles, these open letters to us, right? We have the Acts and Romans and the letters to different churches and Revelation, and we have all these things. We're greatly blessed. We're greatly blessed. They didn't have those things back then. Those apostles didn't. That's why they was given those gifts. And Peter said, we have a more sure word. He said, I stood on that mountain of transfiguration, and I saw him. And he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed. Better take heed how you hear. Is that what God said? Take heed how you hear. Better take heed as to a light that shineth in a dark place till the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts, knowing first that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. Compare scriptures with scriptures is what he says. Well, I think. It don't matter what you think. What's he say? What's the context of what he says? Who's talking? Who's he talking to? What's the subject? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If you don't think Paul's an apostle, throw the book away. Don't read him. If people don't believe what I tell them, don't listen to me. Throw me away too. Christ came. What was his works? He came and he gave blind sight. He gave those lame, made them walk, and the lepers, he cleansed them, and he deaf hear, and the dead raised, and he preached. A bunch of poor folks. But all that physically means nothing. It physically means nothing. Each of those must take place in the heart. That's his works. He comes to save sinners. I'm a chief one. His works, Christ the Godhead, was manifest in a body. That's a great mystery of godliness, isn't it? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. That's miraculous too, isn't it? Received up into glory. Those are majestic things. That's his works. He was born. He lived a perfect life. He paid the perfect payment for our sins. He was made sin who knew no sin. To work. He laid in a tomb. His soul was not left in hell. And he arose and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And right now he's making intercession for us until that great shepherd comes again to receive it. Just like he promised him apostle. Because he said so. That's his work, isn't it? And we remember those things. We remember his word. We remember his works. We remember him because we know him. We've heard him. And we remember that he remembers us. Get that? Remember that he remembers us. That's what matters. It don't matter if we remember him. Remember, he remembers us, Bob. I know him now, but I may lose my mind. He remembers me. That's what's important. Don't matter if I'm on his side, it matters if he's on my side. That's the difference between a rebel and a regenerated child of God. We might go through Jeremiah next book, but Jeremiah wrote this, and he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. The Lord said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. That's his thoughts. That's, and he's going to work it. He said so. Then shall you call upon me. When he does that, you'll call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That new heart I gave you is going to look for me, and you're going to find me because I gave it to you. We pray, Lord, remember us, don't we? David said, they said, remember me, Lord, with the favor that thou hast, that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. You remember me and you come with your Christ, with your salvation to me, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Remember me. If you remember me, I'll be with you. Your salvation will come. There in Luke 23, it says, and Jesus said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. That's what that thief on the cross was. I ran out of time today. I ain't got nothing wrote down. Thief on the cross. What kind of theological statement? You think he was a hyper-Calvinist? He was a sinner about to die. And he said, you're God. I've heard some sayings of yours. You're going to have to do the work. And he asked the Lord something. He said, remember me. The thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The fellow that knew the least, that knew the shortest, that knew everything else, had the most assurance ever. God looked him in the eye and said, today you're going to be with me. David said, he's our Lord and our God. His judgments are over the whole earth, and he's remembered his covenant forever. Not my covenant. He's remembered his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, and he never changes. He doesn't change. Ezekiel says, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. That's us. And plant that which was desolate. That's me. And the Lord has spoken it, and I'll do it. I said it, and I'll do it. That's his word, and that's his work. See the pattern here? Believe him. Believe what he says. Believe his works for the work's sake. Thus saith the Lord God, yet will I be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for him. I'm going to do all this. I said so. And you're going to ask me to do it. That new heart I put in you is going to ask me. And I'll increase them with men like a flock. I ain't going to leave them out by themselves. I'm not going to leave the 99 and go to that one and rub it on the head and say, good luck, little buddy. I'll see you in glory. He said, I'm going to increase them. I'm going to draw them together. I'm going to grow them up like men, like a flock, like sheep. The holy flock, he said. As the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. What are you going to know? You're going to remember him. You're going to know him. His person, his word, and his works. Back in our text, John 14. Verse 8. John 14:8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, how have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake, Philip. Believe me. We got a lot to believe, don't we? He's worth believing. And he's gave us a great cloud of witnesses. We got his word to read. And it's so. He's proved it to us in providence. He's proved it in our hearts. And we know him. We know him, don't we? Does that sufficeth you? When the Holy Ghost came to Philip, it sufficeth him. Let's pray together. Father, we have so many questions. We're so filled with doubt, concern, and reveal Christ in us as it pleases you in your good time. Lord, open this word to us, shed light on it. Send a man to your sheep, wherever they may be, to preach this word to them. Give them the sense and give them understanding. Lord, allow us to see your works in your providence, in your creation, in your salvation, and in us. Show us that, Lord. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. Make us remember that. Remember your word. Remember what you've done for us. Stir up our pure minds, Lord, as you see fit. We ask these things, Lord, not in our merit and our grand ideas of self. We ask these things because of who Christ is, what he's done for us, where he is now. Lord, for his sake, for his blood's sake, for our benefit, hear us. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for our brethren. Be with those that can't be with us and cause them to remember. In Christ's name that we ask it, Lord. Thank you. Amen.